everything you want to hear about the Leafs and more. This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 4 and TSN 1050, the voice of Leafs Nation.
Leafs Lunch continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan around the table. Ray Ferraro coming up in just a moment. Future headlines later in the hour. Matthew tweeting in, at Hayes TSN. We were talking about that Pesci kid for the Canes. He said Pesci is Italian for fish, so he'd go with the nickname Fish over Joe. No chance. No chance. Like Fish, no one would understand that. If you're not Italian, you don't get it. Everyone knows Joe Pesci.
Exactly.
Don't you want this guy to have a bit of a loose,
You a funny guy?
Yeah, like exactly.
You want him to be like that?
Or you could expand it a little bit if you want to think outside the box. You could call and nickname him like Two Utes.
You Two Utes. The Two Utes.
Like,
that's
just call
my cousin
Two Utes.
Vinny, right? Cousin Vinny, yeah. What a brilliant movie that
would
was.
Be the nickname.
That
if
could
you
work, want too.
To step outside the box, it's the Two Utes.
Which Pesci character would you, if you had to take one on, which one would you take on? Pesci from Casino or Pesci from Goodfellas? They're both lunatics and crazy and just kill people at will. But if you had to step in the Kumite with Pesci from Goodfellas.
I like Pesci from Casino. He does some veteran moves.
Yeah, he is, but I don't know.
Veteran moves.
Goodfellas, he's just crazy. Goodfellas, he's nuts and he's a loose cannon. Remember the pen? Grabs the guy's head,
right.
Pen, and stabs
go home and
him
get your
neck.
Shine box, and he
yeah.
comes
then
back.
Then he blows him away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that one. But that's
Frank Leotardo from The Sopranos.
That is, you're right. That is
Frankie Leotardo,
Pesci from Casino.
So you would prefer to avoid him or take him on? If you have to fight one of the Pesci characters, who are you fighting?
I thought you were just saying
I'm fighting
one
the one
like
from
better.
Goodfellas, because he uses props like a pen. You can survive a pen,
right?
Gun, you can't, although he does shoot Leotardo there.
Yeah, they're both ruthless, but I think I'd take on Goodfellas, too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, like, he's still turning the corner. In Casino, he's a nut job.
Yeah, he's crazy all the time. By the end of it, he's just insane.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I guess he's insane in both, but...
It's amazing that we're talking about who would you rather fight, two characters.
Well, but they're based on real-life people. Like, apparently, the guy that Pesci played... In
right.
that movie was actually whacked by John Gotti because Phil Leotardo in Goodfellas was actually a made man. Like, that was based on a real situation that happened. And Phil Leotardo, the real-life guy, was
right.
really close with John Gotti. And
my favorite restaurant in New York City is Sparks Steakhouse. And part of it is because of the history of Sparks. Like, the food is amazing, but that's where... John Gotti had Paul Castellano assassinated right outside that restaurant. And you go in there, that's a Goodfellas restaurant.
How does that place survive? Like, how do you get over a murder right outside
of
your...
It was years ago. It
no, I know like, that. But, like, who's going around that place?
It's insane, but it's still... I mean, if you actually watch... There's I've read the book, but there's also an HBO special called Confessions of the Iceman. And that was the... He was a... A Polish guy, so he could never be made.
Richard Kuklinski.
Richard Kuklinski.
Yeah.
You know it.
Oh, I know
it's
all
one of
about
the greatest
him.
HBO specials ever because he tells stories of like, yeah, you know, things didn't go well for that guy.
And he's not
about
even
stuffing
like,
a guy in a box and like.
He's not even breathing heavily.
No.
He's like, yeah, I think I whacked that guy with an ice pick. It's like, okay, moving on.
That is the greatest.
Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray on Leafs Lunch is a presentation of Sierra Joint Formula 14. All right, Ray, we'll ask you this question because we've been really hammering it here for the first 5 minutes of the hour. If you had to take on one of the Joe Pesci characters, which one would you fight? Pesci from Goodfellas or Pesci from Casino?
Oh.
Oof.
Jeez. Casino was the one where he stabbed the guy with the pen, right?
No, that's Goodfellas. That's
Goodfellas.
That's Goodfellas.
Oh, then Casino.
You'll take Casino based on that?
Yeah, just based on that. When he carves that guy with the pen, I've never really thought of a pen as a deadly weapon. Until I just saw him savagely beat that human into a pulp.
That's a tough scene, man.
Oh,
that's a tough scene.
Great scene.
It is. Both of them, though, very irrational characters. Like, I don't think Pesh is really thinking on the up and up. The reason we brought it up is that kid Pesci in Carolina, even though he spells his name differently, he's a good player, man. But like O was saying, his nickname's got to be Joe, right?
It better be, or else they probably call him Pesh.
No.
Guys are hockey players. We never have word to original.
You add a Y to anything, or you
Noodles was as original as it got.
Yeah, and that was like one. Early on, you can't go, hey, guys, I don't like that. It's like when we did that to Robert Petrovicki, when he has a big head, and we called him Helmet Balderas. He's like, guys, I don't like that. All right, Helmet. Like, immediately.
Yeah, too bad.
The minute you say, guys, I don't like that, they're like, okay. And they call you even more. So you can't do it. You stick with it, and if you like it, great. As long as it's not an egregious one, too.
Ray, what was the weirdest nickname you ever had or played with?
I didn't exactly love being called Pee Wee. A midget.
Why did they call Kevin Dineen Guido? He hated that.
He hated it. And so what happened was he and Joel Quenneville were going to be almost late to the first meeting of the year, so they had to take the shortcut through a rather dodgy area of downtown Hartford. And they came to a light, and I guess they were kind of looking out the window, and this one guy yelled from the curb at Kevin, hey, Guido, what are you looking at? And so as soon as they got to the rink, he barely got in the door before he told the story. And from that moment on, I mean, that was 30 years ago, he's been Guido.
And now they're coaching Stanley Cup winning teams in Chicago.
Together.
By the way, you're the only guys that are allowed to call him that, because he was my roommate, and I threw the odd Guido out, and he's like, no thanks.
Well, I just saw him in Toronto, and I was like, you know, with Joel, and they come out, they're like, hey, Pee-wee, how you doing? I'm like, hey, baby Guido, how's it going? I'm like, who calls a 50-year-old man Guido? Unless it's his name.
No kidding.
But it kind of is now.
Man, a lot of people are pointing out that Penn scene was from Casino.
I think he did it in both movies, though. Because I thought I remember in Goodfellas, inside the bar, he grabbed a pen from on the bar and just stabbed the guy in the side of the neck.
Right.
That's the scene I'm talking about.
That was Goodfellas. But
that was Goodfellas. That was where Phil Leotardo said, go home and get your shine box. And he freaked out and said, keep him here. And Henry Hill and De Niro kept him there. And he came back. And I thought he grabbed the pen there. Maybe he cracked a beer bottle or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. We could be misspeaking, but that's
the
scene I'm talking about.
I'm almost certain, though, now that we talk, I think it's from Casino.
Okay.
Okay, we misspoke.
Well, let's be honest. Regardless, we're not talking about something you ever want to do, step in the octagon with either one of Joe Pesci's characters.
Well, I'd rather step in with I wouldn't even want to step in with the lawyer guy from My Cousin Vinny.
No, me neither.
He kind of had a screw a little bit wobbly there, too.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't mess with almost any of them. Even Harry from Home Alone looked like a little bit unstable to me. I don't think I'd take
I'd go
on
after
Harry.
Marv.
Yeah, Marv would
wasn't so sharp.
But Marv would be an easy guy.
But that guy took the most amount of abuse. Like, he took an iron in the face.
Yeah. No, dude, I'd say that every Christmas I come in and I'm amazed that this is a children's movie. In Home Alone 2, Kevin McAllister throws four bricks off Harry's or off Marv's face from like five stories up, and he survives somehow.
Well, of course.
This was the first Christmas. So my little guy, Riley, he's 9, or just turned 9, and this is the first Christmas he really watched it. He was almost peeing his pants. He's like, oh, hit him with three bricks. I go, wait a minute. And here he comes over the edge. There's the other one right in the dome again.
Yeah, just keeps coming and coming and coming. And about 20 minutes later, he gets electrocuted to the point where you can see his skeleton. Like, he's actually just bones. And Marv just gets back up and chases a 10-year-old around.
He's fine.
He'll be okay.
This is the type of entertainment, Ray, you needed in that game last night. Now, I know you called a barn burner as well because
Oh, my gosh. 10 minutes into that, it's 4-0.
Not good. Not good, man. But you missed something else here in Toronto. Like, O was down there. Noodles, you were up at the studio. I was at home on the couch. I don't think any view was going to change.
No.
That experience last night. I mean, it was a horrible sporting event last night.
Well, I read O's tweet where he said Leafs TV cannot rebroadcast this. And that was in the second period. I understand it didn't get any better.
No. Everybody in the press box, Ray, I mean, whether it be management types, pro scouts, media, they were like, that's just awful. And I think some people were bringing it up, like, is there anything the league can do within itself to kind of fix the awful game? I don't know if they can.
So I'm assuming there was like no emotion to it, right?
Oh, there was no nothing. Like plays, hits. So
how do you change that?
I don't know.
Just think, if you were a scout there last night, you're looking at a player or two. The day before, you would, or 2 days before, you went to go see Jonathan Drouin play at the Rico Center, and he doesn't play. You got to be loving your job on those 2 days.
No kidding. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, I mean, it was. I think as bad, if not worse, than the Columbus game 10 days ago, and that is saying something, because I remember watching that Columbus game, thinking, I can't believe people have to pay for this stuff. Like, that game was so bad.
Right.
But you almost expected that, because those are two really bad teams. Now, Carolina's not much better either, but they are in playoff contention, and they have a couple of players that have name recognition that, you know, you want to see the Stalls play. You want to see Skinner play. That Falk kid on the back end, he's a good player,
yeah.
Man. He's
right.
A very good player. But it's not even in the cards, man. You walk out of that game last night, and you have to wonder how you can justify paying $200 a ticket for that.
Well, and there's more expensive tickets lower, is there not?
Absolutely. Someone paid $400+ to go see that game last night.
Well, they didn't pay it right now. They paid it from a long time ago, and they're just kind of stuck with the tickets, hoping that the team gets better. It's interesting though when you bring up the entertainment side. So, you know, everybody is so concerned with preventing goals, and you know, while your team's building, why wouldn't you go sign a bunch of guys that can score? Maybe they can't defend, but at least it would be kind of entertaining, wouldn't it? Like, how about instead of losing 1-0, lose 4-3?
I don't think Mike Babcock or anybody cares about that, though. He just wants 2 points.
Well, and the fact that the building's full means that they don't have to worry about it, I guess.
Right.
If the building wasn't full, maybe they would have to be a little more concerned about, you know, a sliver of entertainment. And you have the coach saying, well, of course we're not going to score. The forwards are doing what they're going to do. Like, that's not exactly, you know, like they think the solution's right around the corner.
Well, how badly do you think Babcock wants to see William Nylander up here? A healthy Nylander.
Well, I think there's probably a long list of guys that he'd like to get a look at that are, you know, into next year. I mean, you got to think past the deadline, we'll see some of Nylander, don't you think?
Well, I think you'll get 9 games. You're not getting 10.
If he's healthy. I mean, that's the thing you've got to be careful with him, too. I mean, that's a serious concussion that, you know, you've got to be careful with. And I'm, like you say, 2 months from now, yeah, I'm sure he'll be back playing and everything will be great. But you still have to be cognizant of what he went through here at Christmas time, because that's massive trauma on a young player. That's what it is. And
sure, I guess I'm assuming that, or, you know.
Yeah, that it all goes well.
The point is, yes, he's okay and he's played some games and they get through the deadline and do whatever it is they're going to do. And why wouldn't you call up a bunch of guys that can score goals? Because as long as they're on the roster, as long as they're on the American League roster on the clear day, that means when the NHL season's over, they can go back for the playoffs. Because you want those kids playing in the playoffs there too.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, man, I can't imagine any coach thinks it's very much fun to plunge it away, you know, slap it up the board, slap it into their zone, chip it from corner to corner, and hope you get a rebound goal night after night after night. My goodness, that would be, you'd almost Joe Pesci yourself.
No kidding. He'd be looking for a pen, a sharp pen.
It is a casino scene, I will.
Yeah,
I've been sent it, I watched it, and apparently the Billy Batts scene is from Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
There's a gun involved.
Okay, sorry. Right. Anyway, well, remember, though, he's kicking in the trunk, and they pull over, and they...
Yeah.
They finish the job.
With a knife.
With the knife. Yeah, that one, that gets a little bit gruesome. Anyway, well, we were talking about this being a league-wide thing. I mean, we focus on the Maple Leafs, but last night, admittedly, I didn't see much of the game, but Vancouver beat Boston, and I think it was Kevin DuPont that was tweeting about it with the Boston Globe, and there's a history between these two teams. right? They were in the Cup Final 5 years ago, and there was a hatred. Yeah. There was an absolute hatred. I mean, it was a great rivalry. I remember the next year they went back into Boston, and it was a war. Great game, though. Remember that, Ray? It was an awesome game.
Yeah.
And DuPont was tweeting last night, not one penalty minute. And he said he can't remember even, like, a hit or anything. And, like, I understand we're five years removed from that now, and you're dealing with some different players, but
he can't remember
seven of the Canucks forwards last night are 24 and under. Most of them don't remember the 2011 final.
Right.
Like, they were all in junior, or they were doing, you know, they weren't even playing. So they're, you know, to the problem with trying to recreate the rivalry on a one-time final is that it was a one-time thing. And once the main characters are, are changed, it doesn't carry over. Now, if you play the same team in the conference or in the divisional playoffs two out of the next 3 years, you're going to have some spillover for sure. But he's right. I mean, there were no penalties. I mean, somebody had to trip somebody, didn't they?
You would think, right? Like, wouldn't you think at some point, Big Z or Marchand or someone just said, I'm going to go punch that guy and see what happens.
Maybe they did after a while. Maybe the refs were, you know, I wasn't able to watch much of it because I was trying to pay attention to the Ottawa game. But there wasn't a whole lot going on, that's for sure. There wasn't much physical stuff that I could see.
Right.
And maybe that part of that's a byproduct, too. The travel and the schedule and, you know, you can say it's not an excuse, but it's just a fact. The guys play more and in a compacted time than I remember it. They're all looking forward to this 4-day break in a week. They can't wait for it to get there. And, I mean, so this is two cities we're talking about that were kind of duds. The Tampa-Chicago game sounded like it was pretty good last night. But
it was a good battle.
The game the day before, the St. Louis-Detroit game, they're nothing happened.
Yeah,
it was not entertaining at all.
What do you think the chances are that we see Tampa and Chicago back in a Cup final?
Well, Tampa's got it rolling right now. That's what's at seven, I think, in a row now for them.
Yep.
It's funny, you know, they started out so bad and they got banged up pretty good, and Johnson wasn't healthy, and Palat missed a whole bunch of time, and they get healthy and they start to roll along a little bit, but you still remember the first part of the year and you kind of fall asleep on what's going on right now. And, you know, I mean, they're just a few points behind Florida. They're going to catch Florida.
Yeah.
They're going to win the division. If I had to lay my odds on somebody now, I would say, yeah, Tampa's going to make up that ground. They'll win the division.
But what about the question, them being in the finals with Chicago? What percentage would you put on that?
30%.
He went above you.
He went above me,
technically wins if it goes high.
I said 20 in the previous hour.
25,
Noodles,
you said.
I said 25. Noodles, what did you say?
I said 10.
And, oh, you were around 15?
Because of Washington.
Yeah, Washington, for me, is a strong team.
Well, they're 60%. So right now I'm at 90. I give the field 10%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also, outside of Washington, like we said, who else in the East would scare anybody right now?
I think they're all, I mean, honestly, they're all the same. They're literally, I mean, that's maybe a cop-out, but they're kind of all the same. Last night it was Jersey and Ottawa, Jersey and Ottawa. Today I got the Islanders and Ottawa. The Islanders are a couple points better than Jersey. Now Pitt's won a bunch of games, and they're right back in the mix.
Yeah.
Are they worse or better? I don't know. They're kind of, maybe they're hitting their stride a little bit. I think it's impossible to handicap the teams right now.
Is Ottawa dunzo? They look horrible.
They looked dead tired, yet they just come off of two big wins in California. How about this road trip? They started in the East, then Noodles went out to California with them for a month, it seemed like.
and he loved that, too.
It
Let's
was awful.
Point that out.
I talked to him the one day. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to a movie. I'm like, you on vacation? He's like, the game's not till Monday. Jeez.
Yeah.
And then they fly all the way back and they can't even get home. They get the jersey.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, those guys were just like mentally checked out last night.
Yeah. And Carlson's comments after, he was chippy. He said, like, that was an NHL team facing a junior team. That was his comments. Like, he was pissed. And I get it. Like, I mean, you have a start like that regardless of what team you are. You give them a 5 spot in the first, like you're, and they made a game of it. I mean, they chipped away, and I know score effects come in, and Jersey took their foot off the gas a little bit. But I mean, you have you weren't between the benches. You were up top last night, right?
Yeah, which in Jersey is about 14 miles.
but like Cameron was not happy on the bench. Like he tuned them up at the timeout. I think after the
and
second
he also
one.
Noodles. He went with the at some point. He went with the arms crossed behind the bench, and there was not much being said.
Oh, no. He had had enough. And his media afterwards, he was chippy, but
He looked like he was going to fight a reporter.
Yeah,
chippy.
But it was a terrible question. The guy goes, I literally thought, who the hell asked that question? He goes, were you all right with the goaltending tonight?
And could you have used a save?
Yeah, could you have used a save? And he goes, yeah, if he made 5 saves, we win 3-0. Like, what a stupid question.
Well, there was another one, though, that rattled his cage, too. Something about their energy or, you know, do you expect
a
better...
Oh, yeah, and he said, you asked them.
Yeah.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Listen, I understand this is cherry-picking.
Or whatever.
This is cherry-picking because I don't follow Dave Cameron on a daily basis, but it seems to me this guy is
he's
the
always
Joe...
losing his mind.
He's the Joe Pesci of coaches, man. He's always rattled. Well, like, whenever I see him on TH2N or SportsCenter, he's pissed off
but
about
that's
something.
You're right. It's cherry-picking. Those are the clips that they pick.
Right.
But he's great to deal with. I don't know how you deal with him, Ray, but he's
fantastic.
He's great to deal with.
Yeah. Of course, nobody ever puts a press conference on when they're... when they're just answering questions and things are going well. I mean, when he does snap, though, he doesn't leave much question what he's thinking.
Yeah, that's true. Like
So last night, you know, to answer O's question, Turris is banged up. He's their best center. He hurt his ankle in early December. He's got 2 goals since then. He had, I think, 12 prior to that. So Mark Stone's gone really cold. They don't defend particularly well anyway. When they win, Craig Anderson makes 35 saves.
Yeah.
And so I mean they're a team that's going to hover right around the inner out line, and I know they've been trying to acquire a forward for forever, really. But they're also now trying to pick up a defenseman too. And the problem is everybody wants to pick up something, but it appears like they can't find a dance partner that. You know, I keep reading team to team, oh, we're looking for this, we're looking for that. Well, you'd think there would be a match somewhere, but apparently not yet.
I love it. The top 6 forward are the puck-moving defensemen.
Oh, that's all they want.
Well, you're right. I mean, they do have, technically, if you believe, you have a top 9 in Clark MacArthur, who's been out for the whole season.
Right.
But what's a puck-moving defenseman?
Well, a puck-moving defenseman is somebody that they thought, like Patrick Wierkosz, for example, has had a tough season. And they thought he had turned a corner down the stretch the last 30 games where I thought he was really good down the stretch. But,
right.
You know, Ray, you know him very well since he was a young kid. He needs confidence, right?
And he looks rattled right now. So for a puck mover, he's got no goals and 3 assists.
Yeah.
On the season. That's it.
And that's not good enough. We did a board last night on That's Hockey about Montreal's defensemen. Since Carey Price went down, it was about 25 games, their defense corps has 4 goals. 2 of them are P.K. Subban. I mean, Markov has been, I said earlier, the legs I think are struggling. They've fallen off a little bit on him. But, you know, their offense has dried up. And everyone wants to point at the coach. But the guy should take a look in the mirror and say, we need to play better as well.
That's why I thought what Bergevin did yesterday was just about perfect.
I agree.
He just... any excuse that the players might want to talk about or the media or the fans or any focal point of putting it on the coach, he's taken that away. So the players can say, gee, I thought they were going to fire the coach. Well, they're not. So we better get going because the next thing to worry about is the deadline.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, Bergevin went right out there and said, you want to be mad at somebody? Be mad at me. Like, to me, that's a great leader.
It is, but I don't know if it'll work with everyone. Right, like,
well,
I know he wants it to work.
80-20.
Exactly. Like, listen, I don't disagree with you. I think he went to the GM playbook. I mean, he's not the first guy to do that, but that's not really going to cool off the media in their pursuit of Michelle Therrien.
Wasn't
that's
there a
not
situation
happen.
Recently no. where the GM supported the coach, and then he just said, no, you're fine. It might have been Torts, actually.
It was. It was in Columbus. They had given Todd Richards like, I don't know, what do they call it, vote of confidence, and then he got to eight in a row, and he said, okay, now I'm not confident.
That was seven games in where he said, yeah, we're happy with the coach. I mean, this is, you know, I think it's a little different dynamic. We were talking about it earlier, Ray, like, you take Carey Price, you take the best player out of any lineup, there's going to be a ripple-down effect outside of, I mean, I guess, Chicago with the depth and a couple teams that are elite.
But they don't score either.
No, they
can't. Whether Carey's in net or not. I mean, they're scoring under two goals a game.
Yeah.
And I know it's a league-wide phenomenon. You know, I mean, we're down now near five goals a game, which is crazy to think that's as many goals as there is on average, given that there are games that are 6-4 once in a while. But Montreal just doesn't score. They don't score. And so they tried Semin. They got some good play early in the year from Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischman and Torrey Mitchell, and those guys have regressed closer to, you know, the average they're going to score at. But then at the same time, Plekanec went dry and Galchenyuk went dry and Gallagher was hurt and then he went dry. The only guy that scored for them with any regularity is Pacioretty. And so Carey Price can be in net, but unless he's throwing goose eggs up there every night, they're not going to win given the way that they're scoring now.
And guess where they are tomorrow night?
That's good. Yeah. Do we have 0-0 tomorrow night?
We might, man. I mean, the ACC is the land of no goals.
Yeah, but just when you think it's going to be zero, that's where it's going to be a 7-5 track meet.
Maybe that'll be brought up on future headlines, Brian.
I think we're going to get to that next. That is a tease, which means we got to fly, buddy. And
wow,
we got to take advantage.
Big news.
That's right, man. Always here, and he is putting in work. So
I love it.
We'll take advantage. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it on Monday at 1 p.m.
You guys too. We'll talk to you Monday.
Ray Ferraro on Leafs Lunch was a presentation of Sierso Joint Formula 14. Leafs Habs tomorrow night. Future headlines next.
I think Larry Mullen is officially in charge of the music.
It is.
Like, it's just gone rockers.
What's wrong with that?
That's fine.
It's old school. It's Friday. It's supposed to be Mail It In Friday. But
that's
I think
fine.
We're putting a little bit more effort in here.
This is a good tune.
It is a good. We had Kim Mitchell. We've had some tunes.
This is a Scorsese tune, and I think that's what Mullen is thinking right here. This is Casino, Goodfellas.
Yeah, it is verified that scene was Casino.
The pen scene.
Does he tune the guy up with the pen?
Yeah, it gets ugly, man. Yeah, he is just off his rocker when he gets to Vegas. When he gets to Vegas, Nikki, he's crazy, man. Yeah, he is nuts. See, this is what we're talking about here. This is Goodfellas when they're just whacking everyone.
Yeah.
After the airport heist. Remember?
It was sad when he got the call. Like, Ray Liotta got the call. It was like, De Niro got the call. He didn't make it.
What do you mean he didn't make it?
Just didn't make it.
They whacked him.
Oh,
see you later. Tunes up the phone booth.
Yeah.
Anyway, Leafs Lunch continues here on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Do not forget to set your PVR on TSN 4. If you can't watch the show live, you can watch it later. Brought to you in part by Wild Wing. Down the hatch with ice cold beer. And 101 Wild Wing flavors. Google Wild Wing for a restaurant near you. All right, the Regis Leafs Lunch lineup contest. We're giving away tickets for the game tomorrow night. Leafs Habs in town. We'll hit future headlines in just a moment. But the theme this week has been Maple Leafs, former Maple Leafs, who were all-stars. In today's Regis Leafs Lunch lineup contest, player of the day is Dave Keon. Davey
nice.
Keon is your Regis Leafs Lunch lineup contest player of the day. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. First caller in with all five players named correctly picks up a pair of tickets to see the game tomorrow night.
He's had a couple good days, strong days, this Davey Keon. Gets the statue.
Legends Row.
And now he gets mentioned on the
Leafs Lunch lineup
Leafs
player.
Lunch lineup.
Listen, we try to avoid arrogance here, but I might argue being the final player of the Regis lineup is way more prestigious.
It's pretty prestigious, I will admit.
Way more than Legends Row. I mean, come on now.
He's had a good week.
Come on now.
And maybe he would acknowledge this gentleman at some point. No?
No.
Why does he? It's not like he hates on you.
No, it wasn't personal. That's how he's a vet.
Yeah.
He's grizzled.
And Ronnie Francis was a vet.
Yeah.
And
I
work
was a snot-nosed punk.
Okay. I've been in that situation before. I think we all have.
We all have.
All right, you guys ready to hit future headlines? Looking ahead to the game tomorrow night and maybe anything else that could happen this weekend.
Yes.
Big save, Bernier!
Or...
shifts were too long. Got caught out there, turned the puck over, dug it out of our net.
Or...
pass it for Gardner, he scores!
Leafs Lunch, future headlines.
Monday morning, you're going to pick up a paper, Brian, like you always do. Are you going to read... another snooze fest at ACC, Habs sneak one out, or another snooze fest at ACC, Leafs squeak one out, or
give me a third.
Offensive breakout at the ACC, Leafs come up big, or offensive breakout at the ACC, Habs come up big.
That's so four. You're talking the about quad. Four options here.
You got a four pack.
Basically, the first two
are... it's junk, Leafs win. Junk, Habs win. Awesome game, Leafs win. Awesome game, Habs win.
Noodles, you kick this party off.
Ooh, I'm leaning towards awesome game. So that's right there. I'm just concerned that the Habs are very due. That's what worries me. They're very due. We're in one of those games where it's... you know, Reimer's been playing well. Everything's been falling into place.
All right,
having
man.
An off night.
What do you have, buddy?
Oh, I don't
throw it out
say
there.
This. I don't want to. It's been positive Friday, but I lean towards Habs win. I apologize.
The stinker version?
Nope. It's going to be a great game Saturday.
So you're saying a rocking night not, down at the ACC?
We're not talking about that. We might discuss that in a minute.
Okay. Hold on. I'm just saying that we're talking overtime and 3-on-3, but right. It's a high scoring
okay.
affair.
I'm going to go the complete other end of the spectrum. Based on watching these two teams play, I find it hard to believe they can have just a barn burner of a game, back and forth, bunch of chances, bunch of goals. And I think it is important to point out, we believe Reimer will be playing tomorrow night, not
yes,
Johnny
yes.
Burns.
Yeah.
So Johnny Burns will not be giving up his gratuitous first goal on the first shot to Max Pacioretty tomorrow night. I think that's a big hurdle that they won't have to worry about overcoming. So I'm going to take the Maple Leafs win tomorrow night, but it will not be a great game.
All right.
Wow.
Interesting.
This one has to do with the mood in the barn.
All right.
The ACC was rocking as the Leafs and Habs met up on a Saturday night, or not even the longest rivalry in the game can spark life in the ACC crowd.
It's so gross that this is even a conversation, but it is. Like, it has to be based on what's been happening this year, based on the ACC crowd. There's a lot of apathy down there. Leafs Habs Saturday night, there's nothing better than that. Nothing better. I don't care if it's at the ACC or at the Bell Center. It's so prestigious. There's such a rich history to it. But these two teams just are not playing well. And I feel like there's got to be a spark from the players. And I just said I don't think it'll be the most electric game tomorrow night. So I have to say not even the longest rivalry in the game can spark life into the ACC crowd. I think it'll be different than what it was last night. But I don't think it'll be rocking and rolling tomorrow night.
I'm the other way. I think that's what these teams need is a good old-fashioned like rivalry dust-up where, you know, some feelings can come out or a big hit can jar some emotion, and both teams are going to be fired up about it. I mean, Montreal is under a lot of pressure. We just talked about Bergevin had a State of the Union. You don't think those guys are going to be spitting nails?
You would think.
You would think. So that's my point. I believe it's going to be a revved up game.
Okay.
And that's what maybe that's hoping, but I know I've played on teams that have struggled in the standings, and no matter where you were in the standings or where how well you were playing at the time, a rivalry game could help you. I'm talking Islanders Rangers, Oilers Flames. I've played in those rivalries where those types of games help build you up.
All right, we'll see about the crowd, though, tomorrow night. I mean, it's...
I hope
you're right. Saturday night. Leafs Habs, you go out for dinner beforehand, couple drinks in you. We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
James Reimer puts on a show and makes us forget all about Price for a night, or James Reimer hits a wall and gives up weak goals all night.
He's been playing really well. Yeah, all night is a bit aggressive.
My
but...
assistant kind of.
Oh, so you've got an assistant that helps you out with this?
Assistant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you do have a lot on your plate. I understand that. I don't know.
My assistant's ugly, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you know him.
Great personality, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very charming fellow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Trivago guy.
That can win every once in a while. I'm going to say he puts on a show, makes us forget all about number 31 for one more night.
Sure.
One more night.
There's no reason.
He's playing well, man.
I'm with you. There's no reason to believe that he's not feeling good about his game and continue that consistency on. So, although I said it's going to be a great game, there could be some goals, doesn't mean that the goaltender wouldn't have a great night. So I'll go with James having a good night.
Okay. You got one more?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, you're on fire.
My assistant had to put it together on this one.
Okay.
Noodles finds a way to slip in some NFL playoffs into his TV routine, or Noodles comes in Monday oblivious to what happens in the NFL. Yeah. I will speak up first on this one. He will come in oblivious to what happened in the NFL because we know what he pulled last year.
At the Super Bowl, you mean?
No, it was...
Just before that in general?
Yeah.
Well, no, when we went to the movie or whatever, right? What did we go to see?
It was the playoff games. It was this weekend
right
now. It was a year ago
today. Did we go
today.
To your house?
No. Taken Six.
He's talking about when we went to Real Sports before that. Remember, we were at Real Sports. I believe it was the title weekend.
You had four chicken fingers, and you said, I'm going to Taken Six.
Well, Taken Three or whatever. It was a good movie, too.
Yeah.
But what game was it? It was
the title games, NFC and AFC title games.
It was
this weekend, I believe, where you pulled the ultimate
Man move.
I'll be finding a way to watch Dirty Grandpa.
You want to see that movie? That
looks
awful.
It's going to be Bad Santa, but De Niro doing it.
See, I don't like the fact that De Niro even... Like, we just talked about De Niro in Goodfellas, Casino, Raging Bull, The Godfather. I mean, this guy's one of the all-time greats. And now he's in a dumb movie with Zac Efron where he takes his shirt off.
It looks great.
It looks so stupid.
Dirty Grandpa.
You really actually are looking forward to that.
I am.
So
I would watch Dirty Grandpa instead of watching the games on Sunday.
Wow, so maybe you just answered it. I guess I got to say Noodles comes in Monday.
He told us what he's doing.
Totally oblivious to what happened.
You never know. I may be in a situation because I am going away this weekend. I may be with friends that watch it. You never know. I doubt it, but it listen, I'm expanding my horizons, put it that way.
I
mean, I was at a basketball game last weekend.
You're trying.
There's no reason to believe, like I purposely brought up Brett Favre's Hail Mary to get things talking. I talked about overtime in the NFL playoffs, how he disagreed with the process.
Brett Favre's Hail Mary.
I'm sorry, what was it?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. No, I was going to let it slide.
You're going to let it slide. I apologize. Yeah. I'm glad you pointed it out.
Bart Starr's Hail Mary.
I apologize. You knew what I was talking about, Green Bay quarterback. So
Bart did have a good one against Oakland a few years ago.
Yeah, way back.
Aaron Rodgers. You knew that I knew that. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But you're right. That I'm expanding my horizons.
Okay.
And I may, although I would... I don't know who's playing. I couldn't tell you who's playing this weekend.
Well, it's Peyton v. Brady, probably
for the last time.
I mean, you're not going to be able to miss that. I know Twitter can bother you, like guys like me who tweet about that kind of stuff. If you think between 3:30 and 10 p.m. on Sunday, I'm tweeting about like the Preds Blue Jackets game, you have a prayer, my friend. There is no chance I'm watching anything but football on Sunday.
What about no baby? It's just your time, right?
Well, she can hang out with me. Actually, you know, we had a big night last night. She slept for like almost a full night. But the thing is, when they first do it, they do it for the first time, you're panicking the whole time because you're like, why isn't she waking up?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So like, my wife and I didn't get the sleep maybe we should have, my wife in particular.
Checking the crib to see everything's going.
Yeah, you're like almost like poking and prodding. You're like, is she okay in there? But I think we're creeping close to like a 10 or 12 hour sleeping
shift. The
bigger they get, the more of a nightmare that diaper genie becomes.
Well, it could be worse.
I took it out last night. I took it out last night.
You didn't do what I told you?
What was that?
Once you see it's stuffed to the brim, you throw the one you have in the garage and you leave it for your spouse.
That's so greasy.
It's worse than the milk, the toilet paper.
Yeah. That's the most gutless move possible.
It is so greasy.
You just turn the other way and say, nothing to see here, and you go to the garage and hide that thing somewhere.
Bury it in a hole.
Do something with it.
I'll tell you what, though, those diaper pails or diaper genie, I don't even know which one we have. They are a marvel in technology.
Yeah.
How they can seal. Yeah, they seal. Like, you don't smell anything. You walk in that room, but when you pop that bad boy open.
It's like a punch in the face.
Oh, my
word. You need a hazmat suit to take it out.
Yeah, SARS mask.
But the problem with that whole situation is You think about how spoiled we are now, because there are people who used to have like cloth diapers and stuff. Like you're dealing with that whole scenario.
Those things still get sold, man.
I'm not getting into this.
There are people that are still doing the full out reusable,
which is great.
Diaper
if
bag.
If you can handle it. I can't handle it.
Right.
That wasn't my thing. But I still believe, I'm going to take it back to hockey and sports in general, that there'll be some great games this weekend. I believe Montreal-Toronto is one of them.
You think it'll be a great game?
Saturday night, man. Guys want to play.
I hope you're right.
Now, talking about Wednesdays and Thursdays and stuff, like it's the end of the week. Guys want to dig in on it. And believe me, everyone knows they want to play hard. I don't know. Like Manning and Brady, I pick Brady just because I think he's cool. And everyone else is always against this guy because they want to knock him off the top.
They're jealous, man.
Well, that's it, man. You're always going to have haters. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're successful, you will have haters.
And the coach reminds me of Daryl Sutter.
So that's why.
I like that guy.
Well, because Belichick, apparently, he's a lot like Sutter, a lot like a bunch of those crusty coaches. They say you get them away from the game, they
amazing.
Are beauties.
Yeah.
They're well-read. They're into movies and pop culture. You'd be surprised, you know, what else piques their interest, but you get them talking about their sport on the record, they hate your guts.
They
want nothing to do with you.
But that's the way that they're bred, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that, unless you are in the media or a fan that wants a little bit more from behind the curtain. They just won't allow it. I love it. I don't mind it.
They play by their own rules.
Exactly.
They play by their own rules.
Apparently, they cheat, and that's why everyone gets upset about it.
Well, that's a part of it, but they also win all the time. That's another thing.
I don't believe they
win all the time. No?
I don't think they cheated.
Okay.
But, I mean, again, I don't know. I am literally the least educated when it comes to that situation.
You're getting on board, though, buddy.
I am.
And I think this weekend will be a big weekend for you, even though I tend to believe if bad grandpa's a higher priority, maybe you will be oblivious come Monday. But I don't want to believe that, much like I don't want to believe the game tomorrow night will be as bad as the game last night.
It won't be. I'm telling you.
You're giving a guarantee on that. Okay.
And somebody asked, I've got maybe next segment, I got to tell that story, Rich Perron.
Okay, let's break here. We'll get into Matt Hendricks taking the puck off the jock last night.
Yeah.
And you've got a story that you want to break down here.
Yeah.
Quite the way to wrap up the week.
Ruptured his bag.
And we'll hit the three stars as well. This is Leafs Lunch, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we'll get to our three stars here in just a moment, but we just found something out on Google. For some reason, we brought up Val Kilmer. I don't even know why we brought him up. Oh, you're talking about the movie Heat.
Yeah, Heat is the shootout scene, but why is his picture, when you Google Val Kilmer pony, why is O-Dog's?
Because I don't know, you must have been away or something.
No,
you
I remember, I was here.
Last year. He was like, O-Dog, you look like Val Kilmer. And he looks like he's been stung by numerous bees.
Let me clarify. You look like modern-day Val, not Top Gun Val. Like modern-day Val, although, dude, you're in way better shape than he is right now. But you brought in a ponytail last year, remember? Because we started talking about it.
I remember. I was here that one.
You were there. And I'm like, dude, if you do a SportsCenter hit with a ponytail, like I will do whatever I have to.
It'll be his last one. But right. I mean,
you Googled Val Kilmer pony and I came up.
You're looking at this. We will take a picture of this. We will tweet it out at HaysTSN. Val Kilmer pony is all I put in. And like the eighth picture is you in the Leafs Lunch studio with a ponytail. So somehow, many Leafs Lunch
one
fans.
That says, hey guys, remember when I was Batman?
And he just is not in a good spot.
We got to save the story for Monday because it's longer.
Okay.
I apologize.
That's my bad. I shouldn't have brought up the Val
Kilmer.
The Val Kilmer
pony is way better. And the fact that
you knew
he
was going to go there, he loves it.
It's honestly, this is one of my favorite memes ever. Hey guys, remember when I was Batman? And you look at him, but him in the pony, he's unshaven. He looks like he took down a brick of cheese at like 3 a.m. the night before.
Yeah, a brick of cheese.
Like, it's just not a good look for Val. And the amazing thing is Top Gun was on last night. You talk about a transition. Right after the Leaf game, Top Gun began at like 10 p.m. on AMC.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there watching Top Gun. I'm like, this is a contradiction here.
Yeah, that's a...
You know, this is not what I just witnessed in that Leaf-Canes game. Top Gun is awesome.
They're all over it.
Yeah, and Val Kilmer's the man in that movie. I know we're supposed to hate on him, but...
No, we don't.
He's a beautician.
He's a beauty.
Anyway. All right, so we'll tweet that out, @HaysTSN. You ready to hit the three stars?
Yeah.
Leafs Lunch. Three stars of the day.
Third star, me, Noodles, Steph, Mark, Jerry for the Friday appearance. Second star, Maddie Stage and our buddy down in Carolina.
Yeah.
Johnny Gaudreau, Sam Bennett. Johnny Gaudreau's little stick. Intermediate stick.
That's awesome.
Gotta love that. Joe Pesci, the real one. The Pesci from the Canes. Ray Liotta. Frank Leotardo. And Robert De Niro.
For sure.
That's a great call. That is a great call. And I'm immediately a fan of that Pesci kid in Carolina.
It's good.
We're going to have to his career.
He's a really good player.
He's a friend of the show.
He had one yard sale, though, last night where there was him and Kadri both had yard sales where no one was around them.
Yeah, and the poison dart.
Yeah.
See you later.
Lawn dart.
No, but I like that kid, man. And I was surprised he only played 15 minutes because I felt like he was on the ice all the time.
Well, he was impactful. I thought he was a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. Noah Hanifin looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, that Hanifin. I mean, Ronnie Francis was talking about this kid's just going to get better and better. He looked like he was very comfortable out there.
He's a good player. You can't
like watching him.
You know he does, but you can't react to the Marner pick yet. Marner isn't here yet. Give it 5 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then we'll revisit that.
No.
But
you're 5 years in Toronto, huh?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not even talking about the Marner pick in that. I'm just saying.
5 months.
That player looked very comfortable. Had nothing to do with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
All right.
Noah Hanifin looked terrific.
Okay. All right.
Why, are you upset about it now? You seem
No, I'm fine with Marner. You know how I feel about him. But Hanifin's going to be a good player.
He's in the Hall of Fame already.
He's real close. He's going in with Davey Keon next year on
Legends
Row.
Exactly.
All right, boys. You guys are out of here. We'll see you Monday at noon.
Okay, sounds buddy. Good.
All right. This has been Leafs Lunch, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 4.